following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning. How are you? Do you mind if I go downstairs? Oh, good. I like to be with you. I like to be with people. Good. It's good to be here again, and it's good to just share this morning with you. And this time I brought my family. So Ali is here, my wife, and my small daughter, and my little baby Lucas. So it's good for us to just be here with you, and it's exciting to come and preach and share the gospel with you. And it's good for you to practice a little bit Spanish, to practice your Spanish. So Eric contacted me a couple weeks ago, and he said, like, we're doing a series called Shift, and we want you to come for the fifth week of the series, that is Shift Your Perspective. And I want to talk about perspective today, and I want to tell you a story, and it's true. You're not going to believe this, but it's true, and it happened to me yesterday. A couple of friends from Green Timbers, they invited us over last night to have like a dinner, and it was their anniversary, like last week or something like that. So my wife said, like, we should stop and buy like a wine for them and bring wine. I don't know if that's seen for you, but just a small bottle of wine. So we went into a liquor store, and I entered the store. I was on like on shorts, and I was wearing a hat, and just like a shirt and like a t-shirt, and it was like so informal. So I went into the liquor store and I grabbed a bottle of wine, and I made the line, and I was going to pay it. And when I was going to pay the wine, the lady, the cashier, she said to me, like, I can't sell you this. And I was like, why? And she said, because you're not over 19. And I was like, really? Are you kidding me? And she's like, no, show me your IDs. And I was like, oh, this is so crazy. This is, like, awesome. So I showed her my IDs, and because I'm not Canadian, I'm Colombian, and I just have like my health insurance ID and my student ID. She didn't believe. She said, like, no, you have to show me a BC and a Canadian ID, or I can't sell you this. So I said, I don't have anything. I said, do you want me to go for my passport and show it to you? And she's like, yes. So I said, no, okay, thank you. She said, I can't sell you this. So I step out the store, and I was kind of like laughing, like, this is great for me. I'm 34, but she thought I was 19. And then I said to my wife, you should go. You're fine. She's not going to say anything to you. but this is the funny part, is that that was her perspective. Like, I was under 19th, and I was like, this is so crazy. Like, how could you think that? And I don't know, I can't understand that. But I want to talk about this. A lot of people, when I was preparing the sermon, I remember that when I was in school, a lot of people thought that, and my teachers used to tell me that, like, long time ago, people thought that the earth, the land, was flat, and that was their perspective. And in fact, if you look on Google, and if you search like images of flat earth, you will find like very interesting drawings of that, how people view life at that time, like the earth was flat. And also, they used to think that the earth was the center of the universe. That was their perspective, like as you see that in the slide. They thought that the earth was the center of the whole universe. And everything, like the moon, the sun, everything was around, was like moving around the world. Until someone started to challenge that perspective. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning, worldview. And I really love this topic, worldview, because worldviews refers to the fundamental beliefs a particular ethnic group have about life, the universe, and everything. So those fundamental beliefs are like that answer the question why. Why is this like this? Why is the world like this? Why do we act like this? Why do we live like this? And that's our worldview. N.T. Wright, a writer and a theologian that I really love, says that worldview is like the pair of lenses where you see the things through, like the pair of lenses that you use to see things through. And how you see life and how you see everything is how it's your worldview. So it's not reality. It's how you see reality. It's how you interpret reality. And that's the interesting point. As the lady on the store, it's not real that I'm under 19th, but she saw me like that. I don't know why. But that was her view of me. So worldview is that, how you see life. What kind of lenses do you use to see your life? And that worldview is shaped by the culture, by the society, by the context, by the background that you have. So if you ask a person from a different culture about their worldview, it's going to be totally different than your worldview because cultures are different and people see things different all over the world. And that's why this is a very interesting topic, how to see life and how to see the real perspective. Because, again, it's not reality. It's how you interpret reality. And that's the worldview. How do you interpret reality? So I just want to play a game with you. I want to show you a picture here. But not the last one, the next one. Next one. Okay, this one. I'm not doing the game that I was planning. But what do you see here? A woman with a what?
With some kind of a covering over her hair.
Is it old or young?
And then there's the old woman.
Okay, so you see two.
I saw the young one first.
Okay. So, like, can you all see two women in the picture? Yeah? Good? No, you can't? No. So raise your hand if you just can see one person. One. Okay, so raise your hand if you can see the young lady, just the young lady. And raise your hand if you can see the old lady. And raise your hand if you can see both. Okay. Oh, there's some. Don't worry. I'll show you here. So the old lady, this is her chin, old lady, and her nose, the old lady. And the young lady, it's... I'm too small to do this. But that's her nose, and that's her cheek. So two, and that's, okay, good. That's perspective. And that's just for you to understand that sometimes how you see life, it's one part of the story. It's one part of the whole perspective of life. And the problem with this is that because we are in a culture and because we see things because of the context that we live, we tend to think that that's reality. But I want to challenge your worldview and your perspective this morning with the life of Abraham. So I want you to come with me to Genesis chapter 12. And the title of the sermon and the series is Shift Your Perspective. And this is we know this text, and it's a very well-known story of the Bible, but we're going to try to see it in a different way in this morning, okay? So Genesis 12, 1 to 3. But before we read the text, I want you to pray with me, okay? God, we want to come before you, we want to praise your name, and want to pray that this morning, you help us understanding the scriptures. Help us understanding what you want to say to us. Please speak to us. Open our hearts and our minds so we can understand you, so we can follow you, so we can change our perspective of life, so we can see things different. So we can see things as you want us to see things, and in a biblical point view, in a biblical perspective. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis 12, 1 to 3 says this. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So what is God saying here to Abraham? What is God doing to Abraham? And I think that God is doing four things. The first thing that God is doing is fixing his heart, because everything starts with the heart. And God is putting his heart in order. But also, God is saying to Abraham, start living by faith, in faith. You have to obey me now. And God is also saying, start living for me and my plans, my purposes. And the fourth thing that God says to Abraham is, start living for others. That's the shift of perspective that God is doing with Abraham. The first thing that God said to him, it's go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. The first thing that God says is, go from your country, your people, and your father's household. And why I said that the first thing that God is doing here is fixing and like arranging his heart, Abraham's heart. Because in that context, people, and God is going from the big to the small, but in that context, and for Abraham's context, like going from country, people, and father household is like your entire life. It's your identity. It's your security. It's everything. It's where your heart belongs. That's what God is asking Abraham. You have to leave that. You have to start a new journey with me. And for Abraham, like the father's household was everything, identity, security, all stability, everything was that. And God is saying, I want you to go and live. And it's God is saying to Abraham, I want to work in your heart. I want to set your heart right, because that's the real problem that we all have, our heart. Where is our heart? And I think because of the context and because it was normal for them, I think that Abraham's heart was that. That was his identity. That was his whole being, was being around his culture, around his father, around his family, around his country, his nation. That was him, and that was everything. That was his treasure. His heart was there. And God is challenging that and saying, like, I want to start with your heart. And the thing is that how is God doing that? And basically what God is asking Abraham is this. God is saying to Abraham, go and live as an immigrant. And that's, I don't know if you have had this experience of living as an immigrant, but it's one of the most how will I frame this? Terrifying and hard things that you can experience. When you go to a country where you don't know anything and you don't have your security anymore, you don't have your family around, you don't have your stability around, you are alone. And that's when you start to realize that you only have God. And that's what God was saying to Abraham. I want you to live as an immigrant. And It was normal for them to move and go, but this is the first time that Abraham moves because God said that, not because his father moved. Because the chapter before tells us that Abraham's father was moving too, and Abraham was following him. But this is the first time that God said, I want you to move because of my word. And I want to challenge your heart. I want to challenge and put right in order, the correct order in your heart. And God did that, telling him to live as an immigrant. And it's hard. Like when you get, I don't know if you had the experience, but when you get into a country where you don't know the language, or where you don't know how things work, even like small things as taking a bus and going to your school, you don't know how buses work here, and it's hard. That's very frustrating. And that's what God is saying to Abraham. God is saying, like, I want you to start a new journey where you're going to find that your only security, that your only stability, that your only place secure, it's me. It's not your father. It's not your family. It's not your culture. It's not your nation. It's me. And that's what God is doing in Abraham's heart. Somebody told me that when you go from your country to another country, you experience something called that you become that you were a hero and become a zero. You're nothing. Nobody knows you. Nobody knows who you are. It's like you're like a completely strange in that culture. And yeah, maybe not. Abraham was rich, had a lot of things, stability, security, things in his country. But guys, God is saying, like, I want you to start over. And I want to fix your heart so you can put your trust and everything that you have in me, not in your father, not in your nation, not in your country. No, we can stay in the text. And this is very important for us because we all have a heart problem. And that's the first thing that God wants to shift in our perspective. How is our heart? How are we doing? Like, where is our trust? What do we have in our heart? And actually, Tim Keller wrote a book called, I read it in Spanish, but it's something, The Gods That Don't Help, or something like that. And it talks about idolatry, and he says that the problem of humanity is the heart that always is looking for a God, for creating idols. And I think that God is telling Abraham, like, I'm revealing myself to you, because we have to understand also that Abraham was a complete pagan. He until this time, he didn't know this God, the God of the Bible. And God is revealing himself. And if Abraham was living there and still living there, it wouldn't be so hard for him to know and to understand this new God. God had to take him and say, like, I'm going to reveal myself to you, but you can't be here. You can't be here among your culture, among your practices, among your gods. I want to reveal myself to you. And God is fixing Abraham's heart. But then God said to him in verse 1, I will show you. Go to the land that I will show you. And I think God is saying to Abraham, you have to start living in faith or by faith, in obedience. And it's very interesting that this story starts right away when Abraham's fathers died. And I think it's important to understand that what God is saying here is, like, it's not anymore your father's word. It's my word. Because up until this time, Abraham was living by his dad's commands and word. And the Bible tells that his father said, we're going to move, and they all moved. But now God is saying, like, it's not anymore your father's word. It's my voice, the one that you're going to hear. And God is challenging Abraham and saying, like, you have to start to walk and live in faith. And this is one of the most hard things that we can experience, Because what God said to Abraham is, go and I will show you. And none of us like that idea of going to a country. Will you go, for example, if I say go to Colombia and I will tell you there, get there and I will tell you there where to go. You will be freaking out, like, what? I don't know Colombia. It's a dangerous country. It's hard. It's violence, like a lot of things. Like, you know, talking about perspectives, every time that I meet anyone here and they know that I'm Colombian, they always ask me, like, oh, are you watching Netflix? The new series is called Narcos. It's about Colombia. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I watched the first episode. It's bad. But that's what people have in their minds. But you won't do that. Like, go and you will have more instructions there. It's hard. That's living in faith. Like, where do you? I will say to God, like, tell me, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? But God said, like, start walking on faith, not by the things that the world said, not by the things that you hear. Start walking by my word and in obedience to my word. And that's what God is challenging in Abraham. I will show you where to go. You have to believe. You have to have faith that I will show you. And I was just doing or studying the text. I just remembered the text on Psalm 119, 105 that says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And I was just thinking in that sometimes I struggle with that text because it's hard. Like, you have a lamp and you see the next step, but you don't see the next step. You just see this step. And sometimes I would like to have like a lantern, like a reflector, like, you know, this stadium's lights that will show me like the whole way. But God said, like, no, a lamp on your feet, just here. I'll just make the next step. And that's what God is saying to Abraham, the next step. And as you walk, you're going to see the next step. And as you walk, you're going to see the next step, and so on. That's what God is saying to Abraham. Start living in faith. And as a Christians, we're called to live by faith. And it's not because when we think in faith, we think in missionaries that go to countries and live in faith. Like, oh, we're just expecting that people support us, and that's faith. But we all called to live in faith, and it's to live by the word of God, even in a world where it says the contrary. Which, like John Stott said, we are a counterculture. Living in faith is still believe that God speaks here, and He is saying, and is talking to us every day. So God is challenging Abraham, saying, like, start living in faith. But also, God said to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, verse 2, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I think this God is saying to Abraham here, start living for me. Start living for God. Because if you make the parallel of the story, a parallel on the story here, if you go one chapter back, you see the story of the Tower of Babel. Yeah? And if you see the story, and that was the context of Abraham, that was normal for them, they thought, let's build a tower where our names will be great. We will be famous. We will be great, and we won't be scattered on the earth. But it's very interesting that what God promises Abraham is what they were looking for. God said to him, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. You will be famous, and you will be a blessing. And I think God is saying to Abraham, you have to stop living like them. Stop looking what they're looking, because I want to make something with you. Live for my purposes, for my plans, because they are bigger and they're better. And this is very interesting for me, because in Abraham's culture and time of history, they were looking to be great. They were looking to be famous. They were looking to have a name. But God is saying, like, don't live like them. I will make you that. I will start living for me, for my plans, and you will get that. And I think we have to understand that life is not about us. Life is not about our plans. Life is not about our towers, our dreams. Life is about God's plan and God's dreams. And he wants you and me, as he did with Abraham, to be part of his plan. But God is saying to Abraham, shift your perspective that life is not about you. It's not about your life. It's not about your dreams. It's not about what you want. It's about me. It's about my plans. Life is not about us. Life is about God. And we live in a world that is telling us all the time that life is about us. What do you want? What are your dreams? What are your ideas? What do you want for your life? Go and get that, because it's your life. This is what you're here for. But God is reminding us all over the Bible that life is not about us. Life is about God. And this plan that God had in mind with Abraham was the plan of salvation. Basically, what God is saying to Abraham, like, don't live for yourself. Live for Jesus, because that's going to be the plan for you, my plan for humanity. It's Jesus, and I'm starting with you. And that's what God is saying to Abraham. But also, the last thing that God said to Abraham in verse 3 is, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And I think God is saying to Abraham, start living for others. Transcend in life. Don't just live for yourself. Life, it's not about you, and it's not about what you want. It's about God, and it's about others. It's about how you can touch others, how you can serve, how you can bless. God blessed Abraham to be a blessing, not just to be blessed. And, oh yeah, I'm blessed. God fulfilled my dreams. God fulfilled my hopes and whatever, just so I feel good. No, God said, like, I will bless you, because God is speaking here like a physical blessing, economical blessing too, but not for himself. He said, like, to bless others, to be a blessing to others. And I was watching, I love documentaries on Netflix, and I was watching one called Happy. I don't know if you have seen this documentary, but it's very good because it tells what makes people happy. And it's a study that a university in the States started like many years ago. And they found out that until a certain point, money makes you happy. So if you're very poor and like extreme poverty, and if you get some resources and some money to step out of that and have like basic needs, that makes you happy. If you didn't have water, but now you have water, it makes you happy. If you didn't have electricity and you have electricity now, that makes you happy. But what they found out, and it was very interesting, is that until that point, if you have the basic needs and the basic like amount of money, if you have more money, that doesn't make you happy. If you have one car, I have a crappy car here. It's a Hyundai, like 2001. It's so old, but it's good. But they say, like, if you have that car, but then if you have a BMW, and then if you have a Mercedes and Lamborghini, and like if you have 10 cars of different cars, that won't make you happy, more happy than you are right now. If you have a good house, and if you have like a mansion and 3 or 4 mansions everywhere, that won't make you happy. That's the study that they did. And they said one of the characteristics of a happy person, or something that will make people happy, is to serve. And it's not a Christian documentary, but they said, if you understand that life is not about you, that life is about others, and serve others, that will make you happy. And they show a guy that was very rich in, I think it's in the UK, and he went to Calcutta in India, and he went to serve where Mother Teresa served. And they interviewed him, and he said, like, yeah, I was very rich, very successful man, businessman, everything, but I felt that life wasn't like that. There was more. And I just came here, and I just served the people here, very needy people, and I'm helping them, and I'm happy. This is my life. I'm not saying to you that you have to do that, but in your context and wherever you are, if you serve, if you think that your life is not just about you, about I want, about myself, about a new car, about a bigger house, about me and me and me, and if you start thinking others, that's going to make a difference in your life. And God is saying, and we have to remind ourselves, that life, it's not about us, it's not about my dreams, it's not about what I want, it's about God, and it's about others. How can we be a bless? We're called to be a bless. So I'm just going to wrap up this sermon, but I want to just challenge you with something. If I will ask you, or I will ask any person, that draw their perspective of life, everyone will come up with something like this, the next one. So you will be like, you will draw yourself, like, that's me. But if you will draw yourself different, but you will put like everything around you, like, I need like family, it's part of my life. I need a job, first I need education to get a good job, and I need a good job so I can get some money to buy my stuff, to buy a house. You have some beliefs, some dreams, and friends, and everything, like, it surrounds you, like, this, that's my life, that's how I see life. I see life, I'm here, and everything else, it's around me, family, spouse, friends, job, beliefs, church, everything. But some of you will say, like, no, this is a wrong picture, because God is not in the picture, and I'm a Christian. So God should be part of my worldview. So that's the next one. So you put God there, and you're like, okay, God is part of my picture. And that's a Christian perspective, isn't it? It's good. Like, yeah. Yeah, I have some people will put money bigger or smaller. It depends on what you believe. And God bigger or smaller. But God is there, and that's a normal worldview. Yeah, God is part of my life. I have everything else, and God is also part of my life. I come to church every Sunday. I serve. One time I went for a short-term mission in Mexico, and I serve God, and I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And some of you, and I used to think that, okay, this is good. This is my life. This is good. But I want to challenge your perspective, because I don't think this is the right perspective of life. I think the right way to see life, it's the next one. You have to step out of the center. You're not the center of life. It's God, your money, your own life, your whole life, it's around God. Your money, your job, your family, everything, it's around God. And that's what God is saying and telling Abraham. Life is not about you. You're not the center of life. You're not the center of this. The world doesn't go around you. You're part of God's plan for humanity through Jesus. And that's something that we have to understand. And you know what? I will be honest with you. I understood this just when I came here to Canada. Because when I was in Colombia, I was like, yeah, everything, I'm good. Like, everything is around me, and this is my life, my dreams and stuff. But here, I think God taught me that life is not about me. It's about Him. And my life, my family, my money, my job, my family, my friends, my everything has to be around Him and go around Him. That's a perspective, a correct biblical perspective of life, where God is in the center. God is always in the center, and you are around that. So Jesus is our perfect example our greatest example of this. He lived, his heart was right before God. He was good, his heart was right before God. He lived in obedience, in faith on God, for God. He lived for God. All his life was for God. And he lived for others until he died in the cross for us. He's the perfect example. And we are called to be like him. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, the next one, he said, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me, it's not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me, it's not worthy of me. Whoever does not take their cross and follow me, it's not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So the earth is not flat. We're not, the world is not the center of the universe. And we're not the center of life. It's God. And I want to finish with a quote of a great theologian that I love. And I'm actually taking a lot of his ideas from his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Bonhoeffer. And he said this. If the next one. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That's our calling. When Christ calls us, he calls us to die. And that means shift your perspective. You're not the center. You live for God's plans. You don't live for yourself. You live for others. That's the real shift of perspective that we have to understand. God called us to die. But the interesting thing is that when we die, we truly live for God. And we truly live. And when we shift what God was saying to Abraham, if you notice on the text in Genesis, the word bless, it's repeat 5 times because that's God's always intention for us, to bless us. When we shift, when we die, God bless us. When we die, God will give us life, as Jesus said, like whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the real shift. When you have your heart right, when you understand this perspective, you will start living for real. You will be blessed. And that's what I think God is telling us through this story and trying to tell, and that what they wanted to tell us also on the shift series. We have to shift our perspectives. God is in the center. God, we have to live for God's plans. We have to live for him and for others. That's the shift, the real shift that we have to do. Let's pray. I want to invite you to just think and reflect on what you've heard this morning. And just pray to God and say, like, God, can be honest, and you can say, like, God, I find this difficult. I don't think that Abraham was just quickly and happy thinking and doing that. Maybe he struggled, but he eventually did it. So you can say to God, like, whatever it's in your mind right now, and say, God, I want to understand this concept, because all my life I've been shaped and I've been educated to think that everything is around me. Even since I was a baby, everything was around me. But help me to understand, as Jesus showed us and just, yeah, showed us how to live, that life, it's about him. About God, that we have a heart problem, that we put idols in our heart, even ourselves, even others, even money, even things, we put it there. And what you want to do in our hearts is to fix it and to help us and shift our hearts so we can put you in the center of our heart. I want to pray, God, that you help us to live the life that you want us to live. Help us to make the changes and the decisions that we have to make in order to live and to make the shift of the perspective, a real perspective of life. So we can live a life that it's more like you, Jesus, not like we want, not of our dreams, not about our life, not about our hopes, that our lives will become more like Jesus, that we'll become and live the life that God and that you always intended for us. And I pray, God, that you help us. Help us to understand these concepts. Help us to do the shifts that we have to do in our minds, in our spirits, in our perspectives, so we can live the life that you want us to live. And I pray, God, that you help those who are struggling and help those who are maybe new or who are just listen to this for the first time and could maybe are struggling with this, because it's not normal to think that life is not about us, that life is about God, that life is about others. But help us, God. Keep revealing yourself and keep walking with us as you did with Abraham, showing him in a process of a lifetime yourself and your mercy and your greatness. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.